Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. September the 11th, 2024. 23 years since that day, since that 9/11. Did you do some crying then? Well, I'm not the least bit embarrassed to tell you that I did. I was talking about some of the tech that we have now as opposed to some of the tech we had then. We knew people who worked at TJX, which is Marshalls and TJ Maxx and, I don't know, something Home Goods and Outdoors. They got a couple of different brands. But we knew people who worked there. And we knew people who traveled. I mean, the bulk of Heidi's family is in the greater Boston area. Like I said, I can't tell you how many times I personally flew in and out of Logan over the years. Probably hundreds of times. We have, no, Heidi has one of her aunts lives in Brooklyn. And we were trying to call her, and the phones weren't working. We had no idea if she was okay. We had difficulty getting in touch with people back in Boston. Now, it wasn't that the towers were down, the cell towers were down. It's just that everybody was calling everybody. And the technology wasn't as good as it is now, and systems were crashing. So we did not know, hey, is your mom okay, Heidi? Is your dad okay? Is your sister okay? Your brothers? We had no idea. None. And in the midst of all of it, as I am at the radio station, as I mentioned to you, it's different. It's a little different. You get into a smaller market like this, it's different than being in a bigger market. It's just the way it is. And one of the things that I had to do for that show, I was at the radio station by 2 o'clock in the morning, man. So I was already exhausted. I had been out the night before for this Monday night football thing. And all I can remember is that Tuesday morning going, man, it's just, I'm exhausted. There's nothing to talk about. It's going to be a brutal day. I was right. It was a brutal day. And where were you? We chatted with Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. His response, I've mentioned to you that Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard, who has served this nation one way or another his entire life, member of the United States Coast Guard, they, if I recall correctly, immediately were sent up to New York, and they had duty there. And I'm happy to say that the sheriff is joining us. Carl, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Jeff. I really appreciate it.
I want you to share with everybody what your activities were. September the 11th, 2001, the Coast Guard was front and center, weren't they?
Well, we were that, it was a normal day, and I just want to start by letting everybody know it is personal to me. My father's based from Brooklyn, New York. I grew up in New York City as a young child, so I have family up there. It has a different feel for me being from New York City. Yeah. But yeah, I was a captain with the Chesterfield Police Department at the time, and it was a normal day for how police work goes. And I was sitting in a command staff meeting when the first report came in, and like everybody, we thought, oh, an errant plane went off course and ran into the train. But when you got the second plane, obviously at that point you knew what it was, and it was it really heightened up everybody's security awareness because you didn't know. This was an unknown attack. Who would ever thought that somebody would take with 300 people and crash it into a building? So we didn't know what to expect, and we went on their terms red alert here. We wanted to make sure all of our facilities were secure. We have a major military installation in the county that we had to immediately go to and work with and make sure they were going to be safe. Mm-hmm. But you just didn't know. No intel coming out at this point. You didn't know what was a target, what wasn't a target. So we worked late into the night, Tuesday night, and then I got the call from the Coast Guard. I was in the reserves back then. That we were being deployed in the morning, September 12th, to New York City Ground Zero to take up operations there. So, air flights were canceled. We couldn't fly to New York. We had a convoy, all of our equipment up there. I was attached to a unit out of Fort Eustis Army Base at the time. We were a gunboat squadron with six heavily weaponized fast attack boats, and we were tasked to protecting the harbor of New York City and Ground Zero, the site itself. A little fact a lot of people don't know, there's the Posse Comitatus Act in the United States, which prevents military from being used for homeland security type situations. You can't call the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines in to provide security because of this act. You can call in the Coast Guard, and that's what they did. So these operations were primarily Coast Guard and Ground Zero in New York City, and I would spend the next several months there at Ground Zero itself, at the command center, which is right at the pier next to the Intrepid, or patrolling the water itself right after the attack.
Wow. I can't even begin to imagine. And as you point out, such a personal connection to New York is the underpinning for everything that you're dealing with. As you're patrolling those waters, I mean, are you imagining, man, if they took airplanes, they could have subs, right? I mean, there was just no imagining what could have happened after that.
No, there was no way to predict it. A very new way to fight a war, and we weren't accustomed to it. We fight by the regs, right, by military. You know, and this was totally different for us. And I had to instruct my folks, if you see a plane, a U.S. carrier with U.S. citizens, you may have to shoot it down to prevent other things from happening. And I have a picture of me. If you remember, the Sunday after the attack, they had a very large memorial service at Yankee Stadium.
Yes.
And we had to provide waterside security for Yankee Stadium at the time. And I have a picture of me with a 50 caliber machine gun in the foreground and Yankee Stadium in the background. And I just remember how surreal it was that we got armed boats patrolling the Harlem River in New York City.
Jeez.
We're in our own territory, own state, our own city,
right,
patrolling with military equipment in a state of, and it was just surreal to us to be able to do that. And being there, you know, I used to go to Yankee Stadium with my father as a young kid many, many years ago. But it's also when I had the most humbling experience in my life, Jeff. One of the tasks we had to do, Ground Zero, because of the debris and everything, the roads were unaccessible. They set up a small platform for the families who were missing loved ones to come in by ferry. And 100 at a time would come in, spend a few hours. We take those out, bring 100 more. And these are families who've lost loved ones or don't even know where their loved one is, because at that time we had hoped that maybe we would recover people.
Mm-hmm.
And we were helping the families off at one of these trips onto the platform to watch the rescue operations, I had a young lady who's missing her husband come up to me and took the time to thank me for my sacrifice out there. And if that's not a humbling experience, I don't know what is. Here's a lady who doesn't know the fate of her husband, doesn't know where her husband is, ultimately would never be found. And the sacrifice that her and her family made, but she's taking the time to tell me, thank you for my sacrifice. And that's the most humbling experience I think I've ever had in my life.
It's incredible. It's just absolutely incredible. And to think that folks like you, folks like Jimmy Galliano, answered the call, because that's what you do. And we're grateful that you did. And I appreciate everything you've done for our community writ large. But this is just something that I feel the need to share with people, and I'm happy that I'm grateful, really, that you're willing to do it, because we cannot let this just fade into the annals of history.
And I was talking to some of my colleagues this morning. We were talking about this exact thing, Jeff. This is 23 years later, and it seems that every year it gets less and less in the forefront, and these activities tend to wean off. I'm like, you know, we're going to forget about this like we forgot about Pearl Harbor before long.
Well, I don't know how long I have to do something like this, Carl, but as long as I have to do it, I will tell you that September the 11th is a very, very, very special day, an important day, a somber day, and I will certainly do my part to remind people of it. Thank you again, Carl, for what you did then. Thank you for what you do every day.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here. That is Carl Leonard, Sheriff of Chesterfield County. He's one of the good guys. I mean, he really is, and he's always been one of the good guys. And to think about the duty that he had in what had been his hometown. You know, you got to remember Carl's dad was in the Navy, and Carl was a Navy brat. So he grew up a fair amount in New York City, and then we all kid him now that he wound up in Buffalo and wound up as a Bills fan, but you know, what are you going to do? I'm a Patriots fan. That being said, I mean, here he was in this city he knew from the time he was a little kid. And to be there at Yankee Stadium. You remember that game at Yankee Stadium? You remember when we had Red Sox fans and Yankees fans getting along? Because on September the 12th, I got to tell you something, everybody was an American. It was a thing of beauty to see political differences and all this other nonsense put aside. Everybody was an American. I mean, there's a series of days. My friend Glenn Beck talks about this all the time. He's talked about it for years. Think about where you were on September the 10th. Think about where you were on September the 11th. And think about where you were on September the 12th. And watch how that plays out in your life. Think about it every single stinking year. You want to forget about it? Okay. I can't forget it because my birthday is September the 9th. Let me tell you something. It's all tied together. And I refuse to let this just be a chapter in some history book somewhere. I'm just not going to do it. It is 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Hi, baby. Baby, you have to listen to me carefully. I'm on a plane that's been hijacked. I'm on the plane. I'm calling from the plane. I want to tell you I love you. Please tell my children that I love them very much. And I'm so sorry, babe. I hope to be able to see your face again, baby. I love you. Bye.
We're 56865. We have, I believe it is a Boeing 757. Can you see him up there, sir?
That's concerned. It looks like he's rocking his wings.
Roger.
He's rocking back and forth.
Number 56865, I advise you stay away from that aircraft. Go north as fast as you can.
United 93, have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land?
He did not land.
Oh, he's down?
Yes,
down?
Somewhere up northeast of Camp David.
He's down. He did not land. A lot of us were just lost.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
When we lost our own thoughts, we're at a loss for words. I think about Heidi. We had this brand new little baby. My dad had just passed away. We're living, I don't know, 2,500 miles away from our families. And we just don't know what the hell we're going to do. I mean, honestly, that's what the mindset was. We just didn't know. Now, I at least was, I was working. I was on the air, like I said, I think it was 18 hours, 20 hours, whatever it was. It was all day and into the night. So I had something to do, but at the same time, I'm thinking, my God, I've got my wife at home, and I've got this brand new little guy. And what sort of a world is he coming into? What have we done? And I tried to call her throughout the course of the day, Heidi. But again, I was working. It's crazy, right? I mean, I'm trying to help other people deal with their families, and she's sitting there. I mean, she's nursing. Again, Harry's brand new. We just brought him home from the hospital, for God's sakes. She's nursing. She's watching all of this over and over and over and over again on television, and she's trying to call me. She's trying to call home. She's trying to call her parents, her sister, her brothers, her aunts. It's horrible. People in Las Vegas who were retired New York City police officers were reaching out to me. Some of them actually dropped by the radio station. Port Authority police officer who had retired dropped by the radio station and said to tell me they were driving to New York. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. I got to share a couple of texts coming in on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833 804-1140. Jim and Deb in Mechanicsville, who are wonderful people, by the way. They said, Jeff, thank you for honoring, remembering these people. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his brother. We love you, Jeff. Well, I love you and you as well, Jim and Deb. Dave out in Surrey says, Jeff, excellent program. I was working on the north side of Staten Island. I witnessed the fire in the first tower. I will never forget. Tim in Henrico says, Jeff, thank you for continuing to facilitate the telling of stories of 9/11. I was working in the ER as a second-year surgical resident at St. Vincent's Hospital in Greenwich Village, ground zero. I want others to remember because I will never forget. You know, that's something we have to bear in mind. There are some people who lived through this, some people who were dealing with the worst of all possible situations. There's a part of them that would like to forget. They can't forget. Do you remember what it sounded like when we finally heard one of these terrorist Delta Bravos? Cut number 10.
Is that American 11 trying to call?
Buddy, we have some planes. Just stay quiet and you'll be okay. We're returning to the airport.
And who's trying to call me here? American 11, are you trying to call?
Nobody move. Everything will be okay. If you try to make any move, you'll injure yourself and the airplane. Just stay quiet.
Incredible. Incredible. You want to hear one more of these calls? Cut number 5.
Sean, it's me. I just want to let you know I love you, and I'm stuck in this building in New York. There's lots of smoke, and I just wanted you to know that I love you always.
Thousands. Thousands of people in that situation. We're going to visit with Kevin and Melissa. Kevin Cosgrove and Melissa Doy will do that in a few moments. And on the other side of all of that, after the recovery efforts, the rebuilding efforts began, President George W. Bush sent a message to the world. We'll remember that as well straight ahead. It is 527, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 534, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. I have not forgotten. And I refuse to be part of a process that allows people to forget. I'm not asking you to break down in tears today, but I am asking you to remember what really happened and why it happened and how it happened and to whom it happened. You got to remember this stuff. Got to remember this stuff. And we chatted with Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard a couple of moments ago, talked about his deployment as a captain in the United States Coast Guard up to New York City and patrolling the Harlem River. Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, was with us a little bit earlier talking about his response to Ground Zero. Tim Bending is joining us, and Tim is one of us. He's a local guy, and he's got a very, very real connection and very important story. You may remember he was with us last year, and I am happy that he's agreed to come back with us this year, share his story again. Tim, thanks for being here.
Jeff, wow, it feels like it's been forever. Thank you so much. You know, I always, you know, I'm a huge follower of yours, but thank you so much for, you know, doing what you do is think about these people who just ran to these buildings, you know, firefighters, EMS, police, all the like, just the fact that you continue the legacy of their, you know, of their legacy, that's impressive to me. So I just wanted to say before we get into anything, thank you.
Well, that's very kind. That is very, very kind. Tim, remind everybody who you are and what your connection to 9/11 is.
Absolutely. First, again, thank you so much. I love your listeners as well. You know, I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We're a conservative city, but yet we're, you know, the city is progressing into the green, you know, mm-hmm. pastures, if you will. We're really trying to change, but it's a very tight-knit community. And part of my, you know, adulthood was trying to decide what I wanted to do in my life. And it's always had a propensity to help people. So I got into EMS. I became a pre-hospital service provider, riding an ambulance, if you will. And I've done that most of my adult life. I'm still certified. I still actively work helping people when need. But that day when it happened, like all of us, we were glued to our TVs. And a buddy of mine who just got his certification, I'll make it really quick, Jeff, he just got his certification in the mail the day before the terrorist attack there. And we went to breakfast that morning on 9/11. And after breakfast, we got back to my house, and I had a TV on for the dogs. In short was, we witnessed what all of the world witnessed, those planes going into those buildings. And when Katie Couric said, you know, oh, my God, what do we just witnessed? How many thousands of people were trapped? Jeff, I knew right there and then, sir, as I told you prior, we stopped what we were doing and got in that vehicle, and we went to New York, and we were put to work as search and rescue.
Oh, let everybody know. I mean, what are we talking about? It's not like you said, hey, you know, it's right down the street. We'll be good. We'll stop at the Wawa on the way. You're driving a huge distance, and you were... Correct me if I'm wrong. Were you not driving? Was it an ambulance?
That's right. It was an ambulance as well as a wheelchair van. We didn't know what to bring. We loaded up our vehicles with any type of, you know, rescue equipment or any equipment that we had within the station. I wasn't part of that unit, believe it or not. I knew they were a volunteer service called White Oak Rescue Service in White Oak, Pennsylvania. I didn't know anything about them. I just approached them because of what happened. I said, look, I need to go. I need to be there. I'm paid for everybody's time, everybody's the ambulance, the gas, everything. I liquidated my little bit of savings that I had, and we went. And the idea is we went lights and sirens. We rode hot. And yeah. Even though you're not supposed to, we did anyways because we thought, what do we, you know, we need to be there. I needed to be there. So selfishly, I pushed this group, though the, overwhelmingly, Jeff, they wanted to go as well. Oh, but we went lights and sirens. We got there at 4 a.m. and we signed up. But as I mentioned, and just a real quick side note, we are actually 4,002 on the volunteer list. And immediately, sir, after, you know, thinking about that whole drive to New York, what we would be witnessing or getting involved in, I was deflated immediately, and I explained to this command officer, I said, please, sir, you don't understand, we're from Pittsburgh, we're a tight community, I need to be here, it's I need to be here. So in short was, he said, if you take all this equipment down, all this medical equipment that was by him in Ground Zero, and you set up Ground Zero triage, we'll let you go down. Well, I got emotional. I started crying because we knew, and I close it at this, we knew we were going down to sacred ground. And that's really how we got down in there, by this command officer allowing me to plead my case. Even though I say this, Jeff, to you before, on the right-hand side going into Ground Zero, you would see hundreds and hundreds of ambulances with crews, full crews, right, waiting to be utilized. And unfortunately and sadly, they were never to be utilized because, well, most of, if anyone, all perished.
Yeah, I mean, it changed so quickly from a rescue operation to a recovery operation, and just
relatively quick. I mean, you figure I got there at 4 a.m. By that next daylight, as we were, you know, search and rescuing, you know, my job was to go into the parking garages, and there were vehicles that were, you can see them all trying to escape. They're all trying to leave the parking garage. Yeah. But unfortunately, the way the building came down, the fuel that was, you know, that ignited there, you know, our job was to put a mark on the vehicle there where there was a body of some sort.
Tim Bendig is joining us. Tim, here we are. We're 23 years later, and
wow.
I'm listening to you tell this story, and it's like you were there last week. I would imagine seeing it up close, as personal as it was. This is with you forever. You know that, right?
I can tell you that as telling the story, I am there telling it. I don't know if that makes sense to you or to your listeners, sure, but while I'm telling this story, you can see my chills on my arm because I can still smell it. I can still hear the signs, the sounds. I can hear the sirens. You know, we told this before, Jeff, how the hard part for me was, and I want to highlight this. the heart, and this is emotional for us, what we have to witness. It's not about just digging people out of the rubble, sir. This was where, when you first arrived, you see the smoke, you see the flames, you know, it's burning your eyes, you're vomiting because of the smell in the air, but you hear these pagers going off, sir. You hear these cell phones going off, and every day, each day we were there, it got less and less and less, and to that very, and you knew it. It's almost like you were counting them down in your head, you know, unconsciously. And then what happens is you look at it and you hear that last cell phone, that last pager of someone's family member calling. That was hard for me. That was very hard for me to hear that last phone call.
Tim, I don't know what to say except thank you. Thank you for what you did then. Thank you for joining us again today to remind
it's people. An honor.
Well, it's our honor.
Truly, Jeff, look, I know you have listeners. I know people call in, but I'm telling you, and I'll end it with this, sir. I'm telling you from a listener of yours, a fan of yours, if I may, but I'm also telling you from a human being that by you each year, and even throughout your year, I know you mentioned things as well, but I know that you have a focus point because you genuinely care about the survivors, about us medics and EMS and police. And that's why I tell your listeners, you know, EMS, you know, the 911 has an EMS fund now that's been approved by the government. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
And I say this, my partner who went with me, sir, just expired a few months ago. We're still waiting to find what the outcome was of how he passed away. But, you know, we were exposed to all those toxins. So the guy that who got his patch that day, we went to Ground Zero, never worked another day in EM, never had the opportunity because it was too much for him. And unfortunately, he just succumbed to, to this, tragedy, unfortunately. So it's very touching, sir. Anyway, thank you so much for just being who you are.
Well, thank you, Tim. God bless you, my friend. That is Tim Bendig, a story like, I was going to say like none other. But what did Tim tell us? They were number 4,002 on the list of volunteers. It was a story like a lot of others, and that's the important part here, like a lot of others. Remember where we were, who we were, what we thought on September the 12th. It's 5:44, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Sean, it's me. I just wanted to let you know I love you, and I'm stuck in this building in New York. There's lots of smoke, and I just wanted you to know that I love you always.
At number 2 World Trade Center, right? Lady was seen as in the walk, and we're not ready to die, but it's getting bad.
No, I'm gonna die.
Ma'am, say your prayers. We're gonna think positive because you gotta help each other get off the floor.
We're not really supposed to be there for someone's last moments, are we? I mean, aside from family. Your mom passes away, your dad passes away, God forbid you got to bury a child. You're there for that. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, if you're a first responder, right, you're law enforcement or fire or EMS, well, you get to see death all the time. It's one of the really difficult parts about the job. But you know what's really also difficult is acknowledging that when you see death so often, you find weird ways to deal with it. I mean, I'm here to tell you the gallows sort of humor, the dark humor within law enforcement community is it's crazy. And sometimes you catch yourself saying something, oh my God, I hope nobody heard me. But you see it every day. Every couple of days, firefighters, EMS folks, I mean, it's just all the time. But you let it play out. It's a day here, a day there, a day there, a day. I mean, and you know, you know it's coming. Like in Philadelphia, we used to have a radio code, say 5292. 5292 meant that there was a dead body. You could prep yourself. You had some of that menthol stuff you put under your nose. I'm just telling you how it was. That's what you did to get ready because you knew what was going to be there. And think about it this way. You're going and there are thousands of people whose lives have ended. And as Jimmy Galliano pointed out, you're not going to find them, right? It's not going to be the person. It might be a fingernail, for God's sakes. It could be a ring that's left, a tooth. And those folks, like Jimmy, like other people who were there at Ground Zero, like Tim, they were exposed to so much toxic stuff as they sifted through piles and piles and piles of burnt objects. Sometimes you can recognize them, they told me. Well, you know, I think that used to be a phone. I think that used to be an office chair. That was a desk. Oh, I think that's what's left of one of the people who was sitting in that chair. Every year, I share two pieces of sound, and they are from Kevin Cosgrove and Melissa Doy. Kevin Cosgrove reminds me of me. As Heidi said, that's probably why you like him. I never met Kevin Cosgrove, but I knew that Kevin Cosgrove lived in the New Jersey suburbs. He had little kids. He coached Little League ball. And in fact, I did have a friend who knew Kevin. And what I love about Kevin's phone call to the fire department is, and you'll pardon my language, but he's pissed. It's like, lady, I have called you time and time and time again. Where are the fire guys? I love Kevin. I never met Kevin. Kevin died 23 years ago today, cut number 7.
At number 2, World Trade Center, right? Lady was shooting us in the office. We're not ready to die, but it's getting bad.
Kevin was a relatively young guy, and Kevin was one of these, like, fire marshals for his office. Kevin was out. Kevin was going to be safe. Kevin was going back home to New Jersey. And then he didn't. Melissa Doy, a young lady in her 20s, she had her whole life ahead of her. She got up in the morning, went to work. She had a great beginner job in the World Trade Center. Boy, she was going to be successful in everything else. And then she had this phone call, cut number 8.
I'm on the 83rd floor.
I'm going to die, aren't I?
No.
I'm
going to die.
Ma'am, say your prayers.
Scott.
We're going to think positive because you got to help each other get off the floor.
I'm going to die. I know.
And then President George W. Bush shows up. He's at Ground Zero, cut number 3.
I want you all to know that America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you! I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people down will hear all of us soon. The nation sends its love and compassion to everybody who is here. Thank you for your hard work. Thank you for making the nation proud. And may God bless America.
God bless America indeed. It is 5:55. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com